Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You know, I get excited on Tuesdays because I get the opportunity to entertain you in my house right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So thank you for being a part of this event. And I am Sandy Rogers, and I am your hostess tonight, and we're going to just maneuver right on through this. And again, I appreciate you hanging out with me every week. And, you know, there's always certain things that you got to do before you invite people into your house. You know how Mama and them used to say, clean that room up first or there ain't nobody coming in. So what we do here on Life, Love, and Wellness is we make sure that we're centered and anchored in affirmative readings. And so I publish a daily inspirational message on revsandy.wordpress.com. And the message that I'm reading today is called Abundant Blessings. I am so incredibly thankful this day. Blessings of untold magnitude are filling my existence. They are too numerous to even count. I give thanks today. I am thankful for the gift of breath that freely flows through my body, sustaining me. I give thanks for the rich, awesome blood that circulates within my body temple, nourishing it with everything it requires for a healthy life. I am abundantly thankful. I am blessed by the singing of the birds. They fulfill their purpose in life by joyously doing what they were created to do, to sing. They are free in flight and glide through the air with ease. They hum, they sing, they produce a wonderful melody. I am blessed by the flowering of the plants. The colors are radiant and magnificent. They fill the landscape with their beauty. I pay attention to their beauty this day. I actually stop and smell the flowers. I bathe myself in the essence of the flowers. I am blessed today to be able to share this life with others. I go about my day creating happiness and merriment for myself and others. I simply love everyone, knowing each brings their uniqueness as I allow them. I surround myself in diversity and reap the benefits of drinking from the elixir of mankind. Oh, how awesome to behold the wonder in all of humanity, to learn and to share with each of God's creations. Today, I give thanks simply because I can. I give thanks because I am grateful for my life. I give thanks to the source, the creator, the Most High. I am thankful for the awesome, abundant blessings overflowing in my life. What a joy. What a joy. What a joy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ah, man, and the next thing that we do here on Life, Love, and Wellness is we take the time and we invoke, we invite, and we welcome the spirits and the energies of our ancestors, not only for tonight on this special night with Life, Love, and Wellness, but on every day we invoke that special power and the special energy, the strength and the wisdom of our ancestors. So we say thank you and we love you and we appreciate you. Ashe, ashe, ashe. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Helping Young People Maneuver Trauma with Candy Lewis. Now, you know, we've all had some experiences in our lives, and a lot of times most of us didn't have someone that could help us to maneuver our way after we had some things to happen for us. So Candy Lewis, my newest friend, is going to be joining us shortly, and she's going to be sharing with us some of the programs that she has that's operating right there in my hometown, Los Angeles. So she'll be joining us in just a few moments. And so, audience, you know, you're always welcome to be a part of the conversation. If you choose to be live on air with us, you call 516-531-9819, and by pressing 1, it will allow that you want to talk live on air. So thank you for being here, and you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you. So that's going back just a little bit. For God's sake, got to give more power to the people. And y'all know who that is. That's the Shy Life. So welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You know, we get excited and we get crunked around here. And I wanted to play that because I believe that that is the song that keeps Candy Lewis going, got to give more power to the people. And that's what she's doing with our young people. And I tell you, I'm so excited that she's taking time from out of her busy schedule. When you find out all the things that she's involved in, you'll be like, okay, I got to get my gig going. So look, welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You know you're welcome to be a part of the live discussion here by calling 516-531-9819 and pressing 1 to let us know you want to talk on air.
Sandy Rogers Newsreel.
So I just want to share some information with you. I saw an article recently that talked about 6 foods and drinks for healthy teeth and gums. So I'm just going to quickly share that with you. Green tea contains some complex compounds called catechins that can fight inflammation and actually control bacterial infections. So drinking green tea, it says one Japanese study found that men who drink green tea regularly have less occurrence of periodontal disease as to compare to infrequent tea drinkers. And then strawberries and kiwi. Now, I know, you know, kiwi has the most vitamin C that God has created. And so vitamin C is very important for the overall health of your delicate gum tissue because it helps protect the collagen from breaking down. And so without the collagen, the gums become extra tender and susceptible to periodontal disease. And then our nuts and our seeds are a great source of plant-based protein. So a lot of times people be wondering, you know, or thinking they have to have meat in order to get their proteins, but you can get proteins right in your nuts and your seeds. And they also pack powerful teeth-healthy micronutrients such as phosphorus, magnesium, potassium, zinc, and most importantly, calcium. Onions, especially when they're eaten raw, boasts the powerful bacterial busting prowess thanks to their antimicrobial sulfur-containing compounds. You know, and onions are really, really good and healthy, and you need to eat them as soon as you cut them. Once you take that outer layer off of the onion, you want to make sure that you go ahead and consume them. I know I do it sometimes, put them in a plastic bag because I'm only using a little bit. But use your onions more wisely because they do lose a lot of their nutritional value. And then shiitake mushrooms, and then apples, celery, and other low-acid fibrous foods. And they are called dental detergents because they act as like little scrubbers on your teeth. And so those would be some other items you want to add to your health list, especially during the summertime, and take advantage of all of those. So welcome back. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Our show tonight is called Helping Young People Maneuver Trauma. And our special guest is Candy Lewis. And I'm going to read Candy's bio and bring her on and let her just floor you with all of what she's doing to make life better for our young people in Los Angeles. So executive director of the Positive Results Corporation, PRC, Candy is a certified advocate on domestic violence and sexual assault. She specializes in bullying, family and teen dating violence, sexual assault, healthy relationships, and leadership. The company's mission is to increase awareness and reduce violence and abuse in youth, young adults, and their families. Educate them on the impact violence has on them and their community, promote healthy relationships, and build good community citizens. Candy is a founding member for South Los Angeles Homeless, Transitional, Aged Youth, and Foster Care Collaborative. She serves on Compton's Policy and Education Task Force and the LA City Attorney's Domestic Violence Roundtable. She created Stop the Pain Teen Summit on Dating Violence, Sex Trafficking, and Bully Prevention, now in its fifth year, and she serves over 6,500 people, and primarily that's the youth, since 1993. Candy has worked with Carson. These are all cities in California. Carson, Hawthorne, Inglewood, Los Angeles, and Santa Monica, advocating and establishing February as Teen Dating Violence Prevention and Awareness Month. And she's also collaborated with the L.A. County Sheriff's, the LAPD, which is the Los Angeles Police Department, and the Housing Authority for the City of Los Angeles, conducting youth leadership academies. Candy has been married for 33 years and lives in Los Angeles. She and her husband, I love this, she and her husband have three wonderful, intelligent, amazing, and successful adult children. That's really how we should be addressing our children. So, Candy, are you with us?
I'm most definitely with you tonight. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And audience, help me to welcome my new friend, Candy Lewis, to the show. And I tell you, Candy, every time I see your name, it's like you're doing something else, and you are just fabulous. And I thank you for the work that you're doing. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Miss Sandy. This is my ministry. This is something God gave me, and you were talking of, I love your poem, your piece that you started the show off with, because one of my sayings, I have a couple of sayings, is that I'm blessed to be a blessing. And we take life for granted. We take life and people for granted, and we don't understand the power that breath that we just breathe into our lungs and exhale out of our lungs. Man, that's powerful.
Yes. You got it, girl. Because it is, mm-hmm. Like that, the whole movement. And that's why, like, on Facebook, I have, like, God's Groceries, because we need to understand just how precious these body temples are. And so we take for granted, you know, the whole breathing and that our blood circulates through our body. And there's nothing we have to do. You know, it does what it does because it's designed to do it. So, yes, ma'am.
Right.
And so what got
you? Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Indeed. So tell me, what got you started in the work that you're doing?
You know what? It's crazy, but in 1997, the Spirit, God told me to be a teacher, and I told God, forget it. I'm not doing that. You got the wrong chick. I'm a smack a kid. I'm a smack a parent. I'm not going to do it. And honestly, my background is in sales and marketing. I've been a sales hiring and training manager for years. And you know, when God gives you a gift and a blessing, you can't run from it too long.
Yeah.
Because
Right. You're
going to have to do it. And so what happened was I ran until I was tired and I had no more energy. I became stressed. I became depressed. I quit my high-paying job. And I had a mental break. And I went home. I went to bed for 30 days. And I slept for 20 hours a day for 30 days. I was exhausted. And then I woke up. I couldn't sleep anymore. And for months, this went on for probably about 8 months where I was just lost. I had no idea what I was going to do. I had no idea of who I was. I didn't even look the same. I didn't act the same. I couldn't touch or feel or connect with myself. And then one day I said, okay, God, I don't know what it is that you need me to do. Apparently whatever I'm doing is not it. And a few months later, my brother came and asked me. My brother is a Los Angeles police officer, and he asked me to take over his nonprofit. And because I've never worked in a nonprofit other than volunteering occasionally here and there, I had no idea what a nonprofit was. So remember, I'm that hard-headed chick that told God no. I told him no, too. Nope, I'm not going to do it. So long story short, a few months later, I decided, you know what, I might as well do this because I knew I wasn't going back to corporate America. And I knew I had to do something, but I didn't know what. And so I started just volunteering with other nonprofits to understand what is a nonprofit, what's the mission, what's the vision, what's going to be my mission and vision, what's going to be my commitment to the community, and what does the community need? So instead of me just jumping out there saying this is what I'm going to do and everybody get on board, I did a needs assessment for 2 years. and realized that all the things that I was doing as a self-hiring and training manager, effective communication, conflict resolution, tolerance, diversity, respect, and team building was what was needed. And no one was talking to our children, our black, our brown children, about these things. And now I'm knowing why I can't hire people when they come to me. So I started doing this. But very quickly, as a matter of fact, like day two, when I first started doing my own training for my company, this young lady educated me to the fact that she and her mom had had a knockdown, drag out fist fight. And this was normal. And I didn't understand it because it wasn't my normal. And as I talked to the youth, so many of them have had this experience of they were being cussed out and told that they were little stupid mofos and that they would never amount to SHIT and, you know, that they weren't anything. And so as I looked at it, and mind you, this is January 29th, I asked the 27 kids in the class how many of them had been in a fight. They all raised their hands. I said, okay, wait. How many of you have been in a fight this year? January 29th. All of them raised their hand. And they all said that they had been in a fight anywhere from one to six fights that year. And 50% of them had been in fights with their families. So it was at that point that I realized, okay, so I can't get to the youth and help them to understand about leadership skills until we address this underlying root problem, which is the lack of self-esteem, the lack of love and respect, the lack of understanding that they are valuable and worthy and beautiful and blessed, and that no one, even your parents, do not deserve to have that ability and that power over you by beating you, by cussing you, by making you feel less than. And see, when we start looking at, you know, I tell everybody, look at Jerry Springer back in the day. Jerry Springer started off with all of these people coming on TV talking about, Jerry, I just want you to see how fabulous I look or how intelligent I am or what kind of degrees I have or how great my body looks, because somebody told me when I was little that they didn't like me, so I want them to see me now. So what happens is when people belittle and traumatize and abuse you, we spend our entire life stuck at that point. And we no longer get to see the blessings that life has for us. And so we're, our whole mind is on Saul. And we're always trying to reach that pinnacle point where we are accepted. And so our work is just to teach people, young people and older people alike, that you are fabulous exactly as you are right now. You are perfect in this moment.
That's awesome.
How we got started.
And you had that in you. You already had that in you when God gave you that assignment about being a teacher. So
Yeah, I needed the push. And see, I was already a teacher, not realizing I was a teacher. See, sometimes we get to this little point where we don't think outside the box. And my brain was very small and did not understand that there are so many different ways to be a teacher. And even as a sales manager, I was a teacher. I was teaching the team to be effective, to communicate, teamwork, and sales and marketing. And now I'm a teacher working with youth, young adults, families. Actually, I work with everyone because everyone needs to know. You had said that our focus is on bullying. No, our focus is on creating awareness of bullying and violence and abuse because we want to prevent it and end it. And so, yes, yeah. I've been a teacher all my life. And a quick side story, as I said, God poured into my spirit to be a teacher in 1997. I was like, nope, not going to do it. And then I quit my job in 2007, lost, confused, having no idea of what I was going to do. And then on March 13th, 2007, I received the Woman of the Year for 2017 from the County of Los Angeles Board of Supervisors and the Commission for Women. And guess what my award was in? It was in the field of education. And so I was testifying at church one day, and it hit me. I'm like, wow, I ran 20 years away from my purpose. But it's okay because I was allowed to go through some things that actually helped me to be the woman that I am today.
Excellent. Because, we, you know, a lot of times, or sometimes, I want to say a lot of times, sometimes we get into, like you were saying, you took the time to understand what the needs of the community were before you put together a program. Sometimes what we have a tendency to do is put together a program and say, okay, this is what you need, and we just lose contact within the community because we're not feeling them. You know, we're not in and respecting the community at all. So that's a valuable lesson that you learned and implemented in your program, and that's why people are gravitating so towards you. Let me ask you a question. This is one of my own pet peeves. When we inflict corporal punishment, so you were talking about the young lady and her mom fighting each other, but when we as parents, when we choose to use corporal punishment to chastise and to make our kids straighten up and behave and act right, how does that affect the violence in the home or the violence by people, period, not just in the homes, but the violence that people suffer?
So that's really a difficult question to answer because I personally believe in spanking. I don't believe in beating, and I don't believe in corporal punishment. And it's actually about the intent that is given with that whipping. Because, see, back in the day, you know, people got whipped with – I got a whipping with an extension cord. I would never do that to my child. You know, people who have been beat with Hot Wheels tracks and all kinds of things. But, see, first off, when there is a problem, we have to understand that children are mischievous. Children are inquisitive. Children are going to push the button. You know, so you have to learn how to communicate with your child and also understand each child. So when I had my three children, so one of the things that I would do, each one of them was totally different. My oldest, she didn't want a whipping. She didn't need a whipping. She needed her books taken away. That was the biggest punishment in the world to her. Oh, my God, what? I can't not read. My punishment that destroyed me as a child was I was on punishment and I couldn't go outside and play with my friends. Okay, so I hurried up and snapped back. My youngest would make sure she would watch her older brother and sister, and she would, anytime she saw something go down, she would grab a flashlight, a book, and she would go into our hall closet and get in there and just sit down and quietly read a book and wait for all the havoc to end. And so you have to be careful when you are chastising your children. First off, explain to them what it is that they've done wrong and engage them in conversation because maybe they did not know. And if it's a matter of safety, you have to make sure that they know this because they'll likely do it again. And if you're going to spank them, make sure it is a spanking. Make sure that you're not doing it when you're angry. Because, see, we are big people, and we can inflict harm on little people.
Exactly, yes. Well, thank you for sharing your view on that, Candy. And so we do understand that, like you said, being that little person or smaller person can be traumatic, and that some of the situations, especially in the communities where you're choosing to work, South Los Angeles and Carson and Hawthorne and Inglewood, some of those neighborhoods can reflect a lower income, and that sometimes has a huge impact on the type of lifestyle that the children live through, or, you know, as far as what the parents, you know, not being available because they're working. And in Los Angeles, particularly, 1 and 2 and 3 jobs just to make ends meet. And so that can take a toll on the parents, which then can reflect on the relationship between the child. So that you have you deal with the peer pressure and you deal with abuse, and you help the young people, you said, and the families as well, to understand and to get through and also make better choices. Is that part of your program and your process?
Absolutely. So we have a couple of programs. We have a healthy relationship program that we help youth, young adults, and families understand what a healthy and unhealthy relationship looks like. So you're absolutely correct. We work in Los Angeles, but we also work in Riverside and San Bernardino. We've done workshops in Washington, D.C. and Oakland, and we'll go anywhere and conduct a workshop if someone needs it. That's not a problem. So what we do is we help people to understand what cultural relevance looks like. So you mentioned some communities. Poverty exists all over the world, across the board. And when you have a lack of income in a household, that will cause parents to be out of the house. And, yes, they may have 1, 2, or even 3 jobs. And then you have the children taking care of themselves. And when you have parents out of the household, you have other threats that are likely to come in. So your children may be outside more often, surrounded by people that don't necessarily have the best interest in your children. And sometimes, let me just be real with it, there are people in our own household that don't have the best interest for our children. So we have pedophiles in our families. And we know that they're pedophiles. And this, let me give you a perfect example. There's a young lady I know who is taking care of her grandfather. And her grandfather sexually assaulted her and her siblings. And she lives there with her children and her sister and their children. And the reason is that she feels like her grandfather needs to be taken care of at this point. But my question is, how can you still live there and expose your children to that? And so she's using him as a daycare for her kids. Her kids, she says, well, you know, they know that he's this, and we make sure that they're not around. Well, everyone should understand that a pedophile is a pedophile, and what they do, just like any abuser, they observe. And they know your habits. They know your timing better than anything. They know it better than you do. And so now we've exposed our children to this. We've exposed our children to pedophiles, to drugs on the streets, to gangs. And if you're not home, you can't be the best parent. Now, I'm not taking anything away from a parent who has to work, because we do have to work to provide for our children. But what I am suggesting is that we have more conversation. We have more dialogue. We have more rules set in place. We also try and find someone who, especially if your children are a young age, that we can leave them with or that can at least check up on them. But when we expose our children, which we sometimes do inadvertently, then we have to make sure that we're providing the best for our children. And again, yeah. I'm not taking away from or trying to demean anyone who has to work one, two, three jobs. I commend them. And sometimes you have great children that are raised in this kind of environment, and there's no issues. But my thing is, for every one life that is exposed to this, that's one too many.
Excellent point. All right, let's take a break, Candy. You've given us a lot to think about. And audience, remember, if you have questions or concerns you would like to direct to Candy, the number here is 516-531-9819. If you're already on and have a comment to direct, just push 1, let us know that you want to speak live on air. Candy Lewis has been really breaking it down for us with the traumatic experiences, not just children suffer, but the whole family when it becomes cyclical, is what she was just talking about with the pedophile, the sexual abuse and things like that. So let's just take a moment to breathe through this, and then when we come back, we'll have Candy to continue on with her conversation.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them. You see, it's in the blood. Both kids are good and mom. Thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
What a bad, what a bad. Out. Hey, nobody wants to blow. Nobody wants to be left out. You can't leave 'cause your heart is there, but you can't stay 'cause you've been somewhere else. You can't cry 'cause you look broke down, but you're crying anyway 'cause you're all broke down. It's a family affair. It's a family affair. Oh, yeah, family affair.
All right, a little throwback for you right there. It's a family affair with Sly and the Family Stone. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And again, audience, if you have any comments or questions you'd like to direct to Candy, our esteemed guest for tonight, the number here is 516-531-9819, and you would simply press 1 to alert us that you want to talk on air live with us. So, Candy, man, you really have fed us a lot with understanding the dynamics in households that have the violence and the dysfunction prevalent there. And so there's a couple of statements that you have made before the show that I want to address. But the first one I want to, you said that a child abused in vitro could be mad, angry, and throw temper tantrums. And then as a child grows older, they may be a fire starter or a bully or may be in and out of prison as an adult. Can you break that down a little bit more for us, please?
So let me explain that a little bit more. So we believe that violence and abuse begins in the womb. When a woman becomes pregnant, that is the first, most deadliest time in her life. If a woman is already if a woman is already in an abusive relationship, the likelihood of that violence and abuse increasing and escalating is 67%. 67% higher that she's going to be beaten, thrown downstairs, raped, kicked in the stomach, beat in the worst kinds of ways. And so during the time that a child is in vitro, it's learning, it's growing, it's developing. And depending on when that abuse and what kind of abuse it is occurs, it could possibly change the brain matter in that child and cause developmental issues. Also, we've learned that when a child is exposed to, when they're hearing this violence, because children hear inside the womb. And so when they're hearing this violence, they will sometimes come out and they'll be anxious or flighty, or they might even be quiet. And so every child, every person reacts to violence and stimuli differently. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he would be able to tell anytime something was going to happen, whether it was at home or school, anywhere he went, because of the violence that he always saw and heard from the youngest point that he could remember. And he was always quiet. He would never say anything until one day he was in the third grade and he, as they say, nutted up. And he just went off. He went off on the whole class, throwing cheers and books. And it was the littlest thing that kind of just tipped him off. But it was the predominance of violence and abuse that had been happening all his life until the point where he could no longer stand it. And so when we see children that are sometimes I call them the invisible children, they're very quiet. They try their very best to become as small and as invisible as possible until one day they may explode, or maybe they won't. There are children that are born with bruises on their body where their mother was being socked in the stomach. And let me be very clear and say that men abuse and women abuse. And if you are in a same-sex relationship, the violence could happen. It could be in a male and female, a male and male, a female and female relationship. Violence can happen. Violence can happen with youth, with young adults, and with adults. And then because we don't know how your experience is going to impact you. So that violence shows up in different ways. It could be that you become an abuser, you become a victim, you become a fire starter, you are a loner, all different ways that people react to violence.
Wow. So taking it to the next step, you're really giving us a lot to think about. So there has, at some point in time, there has to be mechanisms put in place to talk about healing that pain. You know, it has to stop so that we don't have. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that. Do you have programs that also talk about healing and forgiveness and, you know, what does that look like and how is that received by the parents and or the children that you work with?
Yes, we definitely have those. But before you could get to the healing, you have to help people to understand how violence has impacted them. And it's impacted each one of us differently. So, like, for instance, with youth, they don't look at dating and domestic violence the same as maybe an adult 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, because it's a difference. Someone who is 40, 50, 60 years old, we know the physical, when most people all know the physical, if someone is being beaten. And then lately we have learned about the verbal, that when you're demeaning and you're putting someone down, that's verbal and emotional. Emotional is more like if I tell you I'm going to kill myself because you don't love me anymore, and trying to make you feel bad for the decisions of someone else. But then there's also the financial. And then with youth, it's more mostly a lot of the violence, a good percentage of the violence, all has to do with social media. There's the Facebook stalking, the Facebook fighting, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Snapchat violence, where they will put something out and to make someone feel bad or to make someone fight or to embarrass someone. And you had mentioned earlier about the angry, and that's from a speech that I got. And basically what I was saying is that mad, angry, abused, traumatized children become mad, angry, abused, traumatized mothers and fathers, preachers and teachers, husbands and wives, doctors and lawyers,
ma'am.
And basically people. And we have to also understand, people will say, why doesn't someone do something about this? Because people are often embarrassed or ashamed or afraid to talk about the violence. And so one of my other sayings is that it is in the silence that allows the violence to continue to grow. Thereby, we have that circle of violence, and it never goes away. And so in order to heal, we have to first acknowledge. And in order to acknowledge, we have to have conversation about what violence is. And we also cannot shame or blame a person. We cannot embarrass them or demean their experiences. A lot of times we'll say, oh, that didn't happen, or that happened so long ago. Why are you still tripping on that? Well, everyone experiences violence the way they do, whether it is the bullying or it is the sexual assault or the isolation, because that's a huge one, where a person may say, this is a lot, happens a lot, especially in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Well, look, I provided a house for you, or I provided a place for you to lay your head, and I provided food, but you didn't hug me. You didn't tell me you loved me. You didn't engage with me. You didn't even have a conversation with me. But you cussed me out and told me I wasn't SHIT. And so
right.
That is that isolation. And we all know that if you do not touch something, especially a baby, if you don't touch a baby, then that baby can actually die from the lack thereof. And because we haven't
right.
touched people's souls, it's difficult to heal. So in our programs, yes, we cover of what violence is. We talk about how it's manifested. And then we talk about releasing the anger. And in order to heal, you have to forgive yourself first, because we always try and figure out, what did I do? What did I do to make my mother not love me? What did I do to make my father leave? What did I do to make my granny cuss me out? And we don't do anything. We have to learn to speak love and life into our children, and also let them know, today I'm having a bad day and it is not your fault. But every single time, if you ask any child who's gone through their parents being divorced, they'll say, Mom, Dad, if I was better, if I got good grades, if I was quieter, if I lost weight, if I gained weight, person stay. So we have to understand that we don't do anything, and we have to forgive ourselves first before we can forgive anyone else. And that's why we talk about building self-esteem and self-love and lifting each other. One of the things that we do is I'll ask them to take a sheet of paper, and I'll ask you to write every bad thing that someone has ever said about you, or as much as you want to write. And now let's write on the other sheet of paper. Well, first we'll look at that, and we'll ask them, of these things that people have said about you, how many of them are true? And none of them are true. So now we take that sheet of paper, and we're going to tear it up, we're going to burn it up, we're going to throw it away, because none of that is relevant. And now we write our own truth and our own facts. What do we think about ourselves, and what do we want people to know? And so now we look at that sheet, and we can say, if someone is not speaking this, my truth, then it's not a reality. So we help them to see who they are and help them to heal from there.
That's excellent. So do you do that like in a do you approach it differently for the age groups, for the communities that you go into? Is it the same
Absolutely.
Message? And okay.
It may be the same message, but it will be executed differently. So we have some standard workshops. Here in Los Angeles, we partner with several different organizations. The first and last Tuesday of every month, we are at LA Care in Inglewood, and we do a workshop called Bullying Through Music, where we work with youth and young adults, and we help them to, well, they tell us what songs they want to look at, and we'll take those songs and we'll break them down. We'll look at the words. What is the meaning of the words? And how does the song make you feel? Because very often they will mix a song from the 50s, 60s, 70s and get that beat and put different words on top of it are very demeaning and disrespectful to everyone. Well, how does that make
right.
you feel? And then we break it down and we look at how we would change that. We are now partnering with another organization called Front and Center Theater Production, where we're going to take the youth and we will do short videos and we'll do PSAs. We also do a little art therapy with hand art. We have our healthy relationship workshops. There's different ways that we will work with the youth, but one of the most important things that we do is we teach our youth to be peer advocates, and we have created a youth advisory council where our youth tell us what it is that they want. See, I can sit here all day and say, oh, I think this and I think that, but I'm no longer a youth. I need a youth to tell me what the concerns are so I can help them to heal from those or address those things. And so they will tell us right now suicide is on the increase. And it's a sad state
yep.
that we can actually have a conversation where we say that, oh, yeah, you know, this kid killed himself. 10 years ago, that was not the norm. Today, unfortunately,
right.
it is the norm. And so we have to look at, why are we having so many children kill themselves? And it goes back to one of the things that we didn't realize with the age of the information highway and social media is that everything is right now, present, in your face.
Right.
There's so much stimulation that we don't even stop to look at the fact. Thank you so much. We don't even stop to look at the fact that we don't stop and look at the fact that when, for instance, this weekend with the guy from Cleveland, people were showing this video of him killing someone, and they didn't think twice about it. Oh, hey, check this out. Because they're so accustomed to seeing so much violence. But at some point, we can't, our bodies just can't take it. And so with our children, they have been inundated with so much violence and abuse and negativity and pain and hatred that there's nowhere for it to go. And so they kill themselves. Mm-hmm. So we have to really look at how can we start loving our children again, inspiring our children, lifting them up, speaking love and light to them, encouraging them and helping them, and also being aware when there's a problem. But because we are so in a hurry that we don't stop to look at people and actually look at them and take the time and say, what's going on with you? And if somebody says, oh, nothing, say, oh, okay, they're just tripping today. No, our children are not just tripping. They're having real issues, and we have to stop, and we have to help them.
Do you do a lot of your sessions with the parents and the children, or do you primarily focus on the youth or on the children?
We totally separate the children from the parents, because if we have the parents in the room, first off, our parents are delusional. Oh, my little girl would never do that. Oh, my little Johnny, he's so sweet. Little Johnny is the baddest thing running, and your little girl is having sex out the right and left side of her drawers. Okay, nobody is talking about that. We act like our children are the sweetest little angels, and you've never even taken the time to understand who your children are. If someone were to tell you that your child left school in the middle of the day and she took her little uniform off and put on an outfit that was so totally inappropriate, and she is now up and down the boulevard doing some inappropriate things, we'll be like, oh, no, that's not my baby, because we have stopped talking to our children. And our children don't come to us anymore, because this is what we did when they were little. They would say, Mommy, Daddy, and we're so tied to this thing that's on my ear right now, this cell phone. We'll tell our kids, quiet, see me on the phone. Sit down and leave me alone. And so if you tell somebody something, all they need is 30 days. If you tell somebody something for 30 days, it is now a habit that is ingrained in there. And so now your child is saying, I've been trying to get my mom and dad's attention, and I wanted to tell them something so they could see that my successes and my wins. And so if you didn't see that, what makes you think that I'm going to come and tell you when there's a problem? And so now our children are doing all kinds of things. And let me just kind of go back. You said earlier you had mentioned some neighborhoods. Let me tell you, they are fabulous, wonderful, beautiful, amazing, respectful, intelligent, engaged people in Los Angeles and Inglewood and Watts and Compton. Some of the most brilliant minds are there. There are some crazy, deluded, hurt, angry, violent people all over the world in every zip code. It does not have to do with a financial status. It does not have to do with a race, a creed, a color, sexual orientation. It is just that person. And it has a lot to do with the cycle of violence or generational violence that they have been exposed to. It has to do with their upbringing, or lack thereof. It has to do with that person themselves, because we know that sometimes violent and abusive things happen to great people, and they survive, and they don't become victims, and they don't become abusers, and they don't become pedophiles. That is who that person is, or who that person has been exposed to without receiving the treatment, the help, and the mental services. And so what we do is, when we're working with children, we take them separately and we talk to them, because I don't want that child not to be able to share their concerns because their mama is looking at them saying, "You better not tell my business," or their dad is looking at them like, "I'm going to beat you if you say anything," or their granny or whoever it is saying, "You know, what happens in this house stays in the house." Then I address the parents on their own, because they have some issues and concerns that stem back to their childhood. It is very seldom that we bring the two together. And then also we do have workshops where we train the teachers, the educators, the providers, the probation officers, the police, the teachers, the counselors, to help them to understand what the trauma looks like. To give you, I know our time is probably running down, but let me give you a quick example. There was a young man who was walking into his high school when he was late, and the person who was greeting all the kids said, "Look at this fool." And I'm walking in. I don't know this man, and he doesn't know me. And he's like, "Look at this fool." And I'm like, "Who are you talking about?" He said, "This fool right here," and he was talking about a kid. And I'm like, "Excuse me?" And he said, "He comes in here late every single day, and I'm about tired of this. I'm going to handle this today." And he starts fussing at this boy, and I'm like, "No, hold up. Not on my watch, you won't." And so I said, "Why are you talking to him like that? That's so wrong." I said, "Have you even checked to find out what's going on?" And what had happened was, this young man's mother works a swing shift, doesn't get home until like 9 in the morning. He has to get his younger brother and sister up. He has one sibling who's at an elementary school. Another one is at a junior high school. The youngest one is a girl. He has to get up, feed them, make sure that they get dressed, do her hair, and then walk them both to school so that they could get to school safely, because they have to go through different types of neighborhoods. And then he gets to school when he can. And so instead of you saying, "Son, I see you late. I see you late every day. What's going on and how can I help you?" You want to call him a fool. You want to degrade him and demean him to the point where he's going to say at some point or another, "Bump this. I don't even need this. I'm going to just go get a job."
Right.
And so now we have created this cycle where our young men aren't able to graduate, and they're also not able to provide a living wage for their family because they didn't get the education, because someone decided that they were going to place a stigma on this child or this young man instead of reaching out a hand to help.
Right, right. Some valid points,
Andy.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
so
I mentioned those cities because I have personal experience. I've lived in Compton and Watson and Inglewood, so I know, you know, what the environment. And it wasn't to shame those communities, but just that I understood the makeup and could talk about them from a personal experience. So that's the reason why I mentioned those. And it's interesting that you worked in most of the places where I've lived in California. So can you share with us, and audience, remember, now we're on the downside. We got about 20 minutes left. If you have any words that you would like to share with Candy, have anything you want to ask, you want to commend her on the work that she's doing with the families, with the communities in California, please give us a call, 513-1-9819. If you're already on, just hit 1 and let me know you want to talk live. Again, this is Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show, and we're talking with Candy Lewis, who is the founder of the Positive Results Corporation, and she has various projects and programs
that she runs not only in California. She was telling us that she's been to D.C. and some other areas as well. So she has the pulse of the community. She knows what's going on, and she's created programs that affect these issues, these challenges that she's found. Can you tell us, Candy, what improvements have you seen, and in what areas are the improvements that you've noticed, like once say a child goes through your program? And is it a limited time? Is it ongoing? Is it depends on what the child's issues are? How do you gear your programs? How do you know what best is suited for a particular child?
So what we do is we're normally contracted by a group or organization, whether it is the church or the sheriff or a school. To give you an idea, we partnered with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department and conducted a youth leadership academy for 3 years, actually 2.5 years. We had a total of, I think it was 327 students go through this youth leadership academy over a 2.5 year period. The youth leadership academy was 12 weeks in length. And those students came from Linwood, Carson, Compton, Watts, South Los Angeles, and we selected some of the youth that were the most challenged, that were also at risk of possibly not graduating from middle school and high school, with a high dropout rate tendency. And of the 300-plus, we had 297 that actually completed the course. And of the 297 that completed the course, we had 79% of them graduated high school, where they were actually, they graduated high school and went to either a 2 or 4 year college. So they were more than likely to drop out, and we found that only 4% of them actually dropped out of high school.
Wow.
So
awesome.
That was a huge win for us. We've had students, one of my most chilling experiences was we had the conference you had mentioned earlier, Stop the Pain Teen Summit. And we addressed teen dating violence, sexual assault, bullying, healthy relationships, self-esteem, man up, what it means to be a man, financial literacy, college readiness in these workshops. There's about 40 different workshops you can attend on one day. And I encountered this one young lady who was standing there looking quite angry. And I asked her, well, what's going on? And she's like, nothing. And I said, well, What's happening? You don't want to be here? She's like, no. I said, but you're already here. Okay, so you're already dressed. You're already here. So instead of standing there, not taking advantage of this opportunity and being angry, why don't you find something? I don't care if it's a vendor. I don't care if it's a sandwich. Find something that you like and enjoy it for the moment. Let's pretend like everything is great. And just enjoy it. And she kind of looked at me like, whatever. I said, oh, and I need to tell you how much I love you. And she looked at me and said, you love me? You don't even know me. I said, no, baby, I do love you. You're an African-American girl, 16 years old, and you don't have any say-so. I said, but you actually do. There's this thing called free will. So you didn't have to come here today. You said somebody made you, but you really didn't have to come here. You came here because you wanted to. You wanted to find something. So now you're standing here having a conversation with me. You could have walked away. I said, the difference between you and I is that I continue to look at the positive every single day when I wake up. I thank God that I was able to wake up on my own accord and breathe and not have somebody help me get out of bed and help me to wipe my behind when going to the bathroom. I said, the difference between you and I is you're 16 and I'm not. The difference between you and I is you're tall and I'm short. I said, so go ahead and find something that you like and enjoy it. And remember that I love you. Well, that was in November. And that organization, that was November 2013, that organization that she came with called me in January of 2014 and told me the little girl that I was talking to, I neglected to mention, was holding a folder in her arms. And she was holding on to that folder, too. Well, she had actually wrote in the folder that morning that she was going to kill herself.
Oh, wow.
But it was the interaction that she and I had that was less than 3 minutes that prompted her to stop and find something that she was interested in. It was a conversation that she and I had when I told her I loved her and she wanted to know how could somebody love her if she didn't love herself. And so she started looking for something and she found so much in that. And if you go to my website, you'll see a video where some young ladies are standing there with letters on a poster. And that is from the award ceremony where they named me Woman of Distinction because it was my three-minute interaction with that child that changed her life. And we think we don't have time to volunteer. We don't have time to engage. I don't have enough money. But it doesn't take a lot because really what someone wants is just to be seen and just to be respected. And so we can make a difference. And I don't know if I'm answering your question, but we can
make
a difference in someone's life by just taking a moment and looking at them. Speaking, I've said this before and I'll continue to say it again, speaking love and life into them. You know, every gang member is actually somebody's child. Every girl, every boy that's on the street that has been sex trafficked, they are not a bad person. They've been exposed to bad things by bad people who had no good intentions for them. And we can't judge that person and think that that is a negative person. It's just that something bad happened to them, and they don't want that. So all we have to do is to learn how to have a little humility and respect and give people the benefit of the doubt and do all we can to inspire and lift them up.
Right. So well spoken. I remember I was having a conversation just a couple of days ago talking about how us elders, we don't always take our role seriously. As, you know, when we were children coming up, you know, most elders, you know, were proud to serve in that role, and they helped to make sure that the children were taken care of. And I noticed this, I've been in Atlanta about 22 years now, Candy, but I was born and raised in Watts, graduated from Jordan, and had a youth organization right there in South Central on Vermont and Manchester. And so, you know, I'm quite familiar with what's going on there. But I noticed, though, in the community where a lot of the people that I would talk to would tell me that they were afraid of the youth, and that's why, you know, they weren't saying anything. And I just found that so disheartening. And so I would always take the opportunity with the adults, you know, to let them know that their voices need it, you know, that the children need to know that they care about them. And so sometimes that has plays a big part in it, that we need to learn to open up our mouths, but not like the guy at the school that you were talking about, but talk to the young people with love like you did with that young girl that was considering suicide. So we have about 10 minutes left. What I would like for you to do, Candy, is to give us contact information, tell us how we can support you, what you have coming up next, and anything that you would like to share with the audience at this point. If you would like to do that now, I would greatly appreciate it.
I would love that. And first, let me kind of digress for a moment. When I was talking about Los Angeles, Watson, Compton, I was not indicating that you didn't think great things, but sometimes people that aren't familiar with Los Angeles, they see, or even places around the world, they see the negativity that's portrayed by certain people in media. And I just want people to know that there are great people in the state of California, in the county of Los Angeles, and the cities around Los Angeles County. So that's where I wanted to go with that. Now, you can reach us by going to our website, which is www.prc123.org. That's PRC as in Positive Results Corporation. You can reach us at info@prc123.org. We're also on Facebook, the Positive Results Corporation, or www.facebook.com/PRC123. You can call me at area code 323-787-9252. If you would like a workshop, a lunch and learn, a training for your youth group, your women's group, your men's group, we will be happy to go anywhere in the world and provide this service for you. And what we do is we actually come and assess what your needs are. We will talk with you, your team, whoever you want us to provide this workshop for, and develop curriculum especially based on your needs, because every community, every group needs something different. We are not your cookie cutter, everybody has the same thing. We're a boutique agency, but we want to specialize in the needs so that you can have the outcome for your area, your community, and your group. And again, that is the Positive Results Corporation, www.prc123.org. You can also email us at info@prc123.org. You can even email me at Candy, L-E, that's K-A-N-D-E-E-L-E, @gmail.com. Yeah, I have a couple of different ways. And we do workshops on bullying, healthy relationships, leadership development, teen dating violence, sexual assault. We do peer advocacy groups. We will work with your teens and your youth to do peer education, kind of like train the trainer. So we will train them on everything that we know so that they can then train their families, their younger brothers and sisters, or that particular school. And that way, that message continues on. We also, one of the most exciting things that we do, last year we started gender-specific workshops. So when we come, know that we're going to give it to you real. We're not going to sugarcoat it and make it look pretty. We're going to call it exactly what it is, and we're going to use the language that the youth use because, see, we want to meet them where they are so we can get them where we want them to be. And so last year we started an Engaging Men and Boys workshop, and we called it Engaging Men and Boys to Prevent Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault While Promoting Healthy Manhood. And I tell you, that was one of the most powerful events we have ever had. We had 231 men and 25 women. And, yes, this is my company. And all I did at this workshop that started at 9 and ended at 3, I opened the conversation up at about 6 or 7 minutes, and I ended it with another 6 or 7 minutes. And we left it to the men to have the conversation. Ladies, we have to step out the way and let men be advocates for us and support us, but we also have to give them the tools to do that. So in June, we'll be hosting our second annual event for men. If anyone is interested in attending or sponsoring, contact me. And then we are going into our fourth year where we'll have our Purple Purse Tea Party, which is for women to create awareness about financial abuse and other types of abuse that affect us. We still have our bullying through music workshops. We're going to be doing some summer programs, and we do the and we also have a sister circle for youth as well as adults, and for our young children as young as 4. We talk about healthy relationships and bully awareness. We do programs at schools and churches and colleges, with hospitals. Some of our best partners are Kaiser Permanente, who has allowed us to utilize not only their facilities, but doctors. And we will go to a fraternity, a sorority, wherever you need us to go, we're there.
Excellent. So tell us about your team. We got about 5 minutes left, Candy. You have to have a very, very strong team that is helping you to make all of this be so productive and so positive. I'm just so impressed with the work that you're doing and are able to do around the nation. And I can see you going around the world, because it's not just needed here in the United States. And, you know, with all the different aspects that you've created, you allow the men that simply need to be heard. You've given them a platform where they can be heard, and you've got the so many things going on, the bullying through music and talking about violence and isolation and the shame and the fear and all of that that's involved, the child sex trafficking, all of that. Tell us a little bit about your team.
Our teams, as in T-E-E-N?
Our team.
Okay, so we have a dynamic team. Our team is made up of volunteers. We also have some survivors, people who have been exposed to all types of violence, to sexual assault, to dating domestic violence, to murder, to all kinds of things. And we believe that you are not your experiences, but your experiences make up who you are. But that doesn't mean, for instance, what I mean is, if you were exposed to violence and abuse and you live around a whole mess of stuff, that doesn't mean you're a mess. That does not mean that you're violent. That just means that you have been exposed to and you have knowledge of. So we take that knowledge, we give you the tools to become a facilitator, a trainer based on your strengths. And so we have the most dynamic team that they're intelligent, they're caring, they're compassionate, they're purposeful, they're engaging, and they're dynamic. We have the most amazing volunteers, people that are as young as 15 years old, to the beautiful age of 85, 90 years old. I have to stop and give props to my brother, Tony Newsom. You had mentioned earlier I'm the founder. I'm not the founder. Tony Newsom is the founder.
Oh.
He is my brother.
Okay.
He gave me this company.
Okay.
My biggest and best supporter is my mother. I love her, Daisy Newsom. I can't imagine being here in this world, functioning, doing the work that I'm doing without her. I have the most supportive family, and my children actually do this work with me. So it is not only a family, a personal commitment, it's a family commitment and a community commitment. So my team, I just have to shout and say thank you to Tanisha Webb and to Kelly Dillon and to Cornell Ward and to Aggie Barbera and Eddie and everyone that works with us in some form or fashion. And we also do workshops in English, Spanish, and I have a partner with, it's called Sign With Me here in Los Angeles, that does American Sign Language. And we do workshops in sign language as well, because we want to be able to provide the need for whoever needs it.
You're incredible.
So it is not just me.
And
it is a collaboration, a love effort. And all of our sponsors, oh, my gosh, we have some amazing sponsors. And now how can someone help? They can volunteer. We always need funding. So maybe you say, look, I don't have a lot of money. $5 makes a difference. If you donate $5 or even $5 every month, that makes a difference to help us do the work. You might say, okay, I don't have any money, but I know how to write a grant. Or I know how to come and sign people in into the workshops. Or maybe you have a PR agency and you can help us to spread the word nationally. We need whatever help we can. You might just say, look, I just want to come and sow a seed of word of positivity to a youth. So contact us and let us see how we can work together.
All right. So let me see if I can give that information again. The Positive Results Corporation is on all social media, and their website is www.prc123.org. Email is info@prc123.org. And on Facebook and Twitter, I believe, is also prc.123. Candy direct email is kandeele@gmail.com, and you could call her at 323-787-9252. And I believe that that is all of the contact information. You may have said something else, but those were the ones that I wrote down, Candy.
That's it. They can reach us
okay.
That way. Please feel free to Google us, and you'll see that we're not just that talk and talk. Okay, we are talking and walking and making a difference, and we need your help so that we can help other people live a life of positivity, because we know that everyone has the potential. My pastor always says that we have to be careful, because we could be entertaining angels, and we don't know it. We also need to understand that every person was given at least one gift. Some of us were given many more, but we all have one gift. And we have to get to the point where we can see that one gift, or we can help that person find the gift that's in them. So as we close this out, I'd really like to just share a couple of things. That it is so important that we no longer judge a person by the way they look or where they come from or what their sexual orientation is. We have to look at people for who they are. We need to speak love and life to them. Let us listen to hear and understand. Let us also not accuse or blame people for anything. And just know that each person really does have the best that they really want to do. They may not know how. So as we go forward, let's try and see how we can get the best from everyone. And we can do that by being the best ourselves.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Excellently put. And Candy, thank you so much for all the things that you're doing, the contributions that you're making, the change that you're affecting in the communities where you're working. I take my hat off to you. I say thank you and blessings upon blessings upon blessings for your work to be continued and for this to just to take off throughout the world, so that young people are given choices that include positive experiences. So thank you so much for being with us tonight. And thank you, audience, for being a part of Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. It has been a pleasure to have you with us tonight. And we look forward to you being with us again next week, same time, same station. And, you know, as always, I wish you nothing but the best in this lifetime. Good night, and we'll see you next week. Thanks again, Candy.
Good night.
Thank you so much.
Hey.